What's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, happy Thursday. It is football time in America. Mike, there's nothing better than the NFL starting. Bro, we talk about it all the time. Listen, we love all of our other sports. Obviously, our Braves are in the mix and probably are going to win another division. We hope, fingers crossed. Atlanta United's heating up and finally getting going, but there is nothing like the start of college football, which happened last weekend, right, and now the NFL.
Yeah, man, I know that it's been said before, but I'll say it again because I already did on Twitter, is that baseball is our pastime, but the NFL is our passion, you know, and this is just something that just gets people fired up, and, you know, it's just out of the visceral nature of the contact. I don't know what it is, but, yeah, man, this just gets the juices flowing. And I said, whether it's fantasy football or, you know, you're just a hardcore fan or you're a degenerate gambler, because that also is the busiest time for gambling is football season. It's just all the stuff we love, you know? So I'm stoked. Can't wait. And I'm glad we did away with the Mickey Mouse 10 p.m. start on the West Coast. Let's have one big game, and this is it. Cowboys Bucks.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. Now, a lot of people think tonight Cowboys are going to get blown out.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I don't think so either. I think because of, you know, what they were. It's sort of like us, Mike, what we were last year. And you go, oh, they were bad. They were bad. But think about what happened. They lost their quarterback. Zeke was in a down year. Half their offensive line was jacked up. I think they're going to be okay. I'm not going to tell you the Bucks are going to win by 20, right, but I think it's going to be an interesting game to start the season. And, of course, you'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 8:20 is the kick. And as we get to headlines, guys, brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. They can help. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live well. We've got a lot to dive into today. Our man Ross Tucker is going to join us. 2:20 as we'll talk NFL with him. We'll get his thoughts not only on tonight's game, but also the Falcons-Eagles. We also are going to get a chance to talk to George Campbell, Mike, from Atlanta United at 2:40 today. And then at 3, Calvin Ridley stops by the show. And everybody's talking about what this offense can be, what will it be. I think the one guy, maybe two guys that really know are Calvin Ridley and maybe the quarterback and Matt Ryan. So he's going to stop at 3 o'clock, Mike, and we'll pick his brain on what he's seeing with these Eagles and what he thinks is going to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. I mean, Calvin Ridley, top 20 fantasy performer, right? So this is a year.
Did you get him, by the way?
No, I think Don Marino got him. I think Blindside Robbins got him in our shenanigans league. But, yeah, man, always love talking to Calvin, man. Good dude, and we'll talk about, you know, this offseason and what's it like to be the man, you know? And obviously Kyle Pitts may be the man at some point, but after Julio was the man, Ridley is the man now. And I think Ross is based. Ross Tucker, by the way, next segment is based in Philly, so we can also pick his brain a lot on the Eagles game too.
Yeah, he does. I think pregame or something like that as well. Vince Dooley's going to stop by, guys, for his weekly visit. We'll talk
super
dogs.
That's just super.
And you're going to get a chance to see one of our guests today at 4:20. Trevor Scales is taking over for one of my good friends in. You know, we talk about guys moving on. He's decided to call it quits, Mike, and I don't want to give this away because I want to, you know, talk to Trevor about this, but Bally Sports, Trevor Scales is going to stop by at 4:20, and I will tell you, I think he's going to do a terrific job in stepping in for Jerome Jarinovich.
Yeah,
but he is one of the new faces you'll be seeing, and he's an Atlanta guy. I mean, a lot of people may not know the story, so we're going to get him on and talk to him, and hopefully he's going to become a mainstay as part of our coverage with the Braves and the Hawks because he'll be on Bally Sports.
And I don't want to put Jerome's business out there, but Jerome is a billionaire. He just did this for kicks.
I know.
He may be listening, probably playing golf right now. But Jerome, you see those monitors when they're on Bally in the old days on Fox. He's a day trader. He makes a fortune on Wall Street. He just does this for kicks. So, yeah, Jerome eventually decided, let's give somebody else a crack at it. So Trevor Scales will be our new man down here with Brian Jordan and company.
He's such a good dude, man, Jerome. And he is chilling. There's no doubt. I know that he is hanging out and having a good time. All right, man, with that said, let's start and talk about what happened with the Braves. It's a busy show today on a Thursday. Plenty of football conversation coming your way, Mike. All right. Tookie Toussaint. Let's start there, because as much confidence as we had in him just a few weeks ago, all of a sudden that's waning for me,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, and two guys, and if you listen to the show, I'm always banging the drum for Tookie and for Sean Newcomb. And Newcomb's going to get another shot with the expanded roster, but Tookie, you're killing me. And I tweeted it. I read Sanford.
You're killing me.
I had Fred Sanford like, oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming. Because, I mean, 3 1/3. I mean, this crap, which then gets the bullpen. And that means Snicker has to do something stupid with the bullpen. These are things that happen. It's wearing me out. You know, I wanted, and we talked about being confident, you know, with the trade deadline, and we made moves. But when the pitchers can't give you 5 or 6 innings, man, this is getting ridiculous. And Tookie, I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm banging the drum for Tukey, brother. He had a great opportunity, came up here with electric stuff, and he's totally backsliding into all the stuff that made Tukey go down to the minors in the first place.
He said after the game last night, command wasn't there. Duh.
You think?
He said, it's a mechanical issue I'm trying to fix, and get back on track. All right, now this is not what I want to hear. Guys have bad nights. We talk about it all the time. Bad days, bad nights at the park, it happens. When you start thinking, Mike, in your head as a pitcher, it's mechanical, and maybe it is, then you start overthinking. If you start thinking about delivery, release, these are terms pitchers will talk about to you all day long, right? Release point, all this stuff that I've heard over the years, and you start thinking too hard about it, Mike, you become too mechanical.
Right.
And that's when you start to give up runs, and you're just not pitching. I'm trying to throw the ball there. And that's what happened last night with Tukey. So bottom line, man, I mean, we talk about the starting rotation. Like I said, a few weeks ago, I asked you guys, playoffs start today. Who's in the rotation? Charlie Morton, Max Fried. Who's your third guy? You can't win a seven-game series, guys, with two pitchers.
No. And this goes back to, I'm glad we signed Charlie Morton, and we'll talk about the reported gap between the Braves and Freddie Freeman. Now, that's cropped up today. We'll get into that. But Charlie Morton, yes, that's great. And $20 million, a bargain at twice the price because he does his job and he's an older guy who throws with velocity and can actually give you six or two-thirds. But we got to get more arms. I trust no one. I trust Fried and I trust sort of Hanoa. But, I mean, you're right, brother. We're kind of going down the road in the same boat we were in last year. You know, and in this case, Ian Anderson will have a season with some injuries under his belt this time around. But you just start running out of guys. And then Smiley, and we'll get in depth on this later, you know, when we go around the yard. But Smiley, this was the first time you're going to use – I mean, I guess you got to use him sometime. Wouldn't you have rather seen Smiley in the middle innings and then use Richard Rodriguez later as a true setup man?
Yes.
Just a
yes.
thought, Snit. Just a thought.
Yeah, it's a valid point. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, let's talk about something else that happened. We lost the game. Fine. We're still up 2.5 over the Phillies. But I've asked about the toughness of this team, and when I say toughness, I'm just talking about guys coming to bat for other guys. We saw it earlier in the season with Acuna. So last night, National starting pitcher, you know, he gets ejected by the home plate umpire, Mike, and Freddie gets thrown at not once but twice. Now, Freddie's right. If you're going to try to hit me first time, You know, you throw him behind my head, we got a problem. So I totally agree with everything Freddie said. Snit said he thought it was the right decision for him to get thrown out. What did you make of that whole situation?
It goes back, you know, 24 hours to Will Smith throwing at Soto, right?
It does.
I mean, and Will Smith's got a beef with Soto. So now Freddie's got to pay the price, which he gladly will as a good teammate, as long as it's not, you know, something that could be a dangerous situation. You know, oh yeah, you'll get a welt, and then you take your base. But this is Will Smith with his Soto thing, which drives – and again, I can't get on people – when we get on guys for getting Acuna, that's Soto right. does his job. Soto plays with flair, swag, okay? Whatever you want to say. You showboat? Sure. But Soto is one of the young stars in this league, just like our man, right? I mean, just like Ronald Acuna. So if Will Smith doesn't like it, I really can't be talking out of both sides of my melon here on this one. So Will Smith started it, and then we had what we had last night.
Yeah. Two first-inning fastballs at Freddie. Freddie and Soto, by the way, and probably if you watch it, you probably saw it or they showed it again, and they cross paths. They're baseball players. They get this. They understand, okay? They don't have an issue between those two guys. They actually probably talked about it. Some BS. Yeah, bro, I know. All right, let's keep it moving. I'll talk to you. So I just wanted to say, as far as Freddie getting thrown at, I'm all for that. Fine, if you're going to do it, but I'm with him. Don't keep throwing at me and then put me in danger by throwing at my head. We'll see what happens. Braves Nationals tonight. In the final game, Mike, but, you know, last night I thought was a wasted opportunity for our Braves.
Right. And again, for those who don't realize, you got to go back a couple of weeks. I believe it was, the 17th? Is that when it was? August 17th is when Soto goes yard.
Yard,
and it was like a moonshot, and he was doing his thing. I mean, he pimps it the way Acuna does. That's what I'm saying. And Will Smith, again, maybe if you threw 97 or 98, he wouldn't do that, right? So then Will Smith screaming F-bombs at him as he's rounding the bases. So the other night he decided he was going to plunk him, and then again, now here we go. In the middle of a pennant race, how about you just do your job? This is why I hate the crap. I hate it when Acuna gets plunked, and I hate it when a guy like Will Smith plunks a guy for doing his job. I mean, I got to be consistent. You feel me on that?
I do. No. I absolutely do. You guys know the only thing I've ever said is defend your guy. That's the only thing I've ever said. I don't care how you do
it. Yeah, once it starts, then you got to go. Then it's
correct.
This whole like punch counter punch thing you got to do.
So that's been my whole thing. But with Miami specifically, I just thought it was intentional numerous times, and that was my bigger issue. Last night, this is how baseball polices itself. You had a situation last week. We'll see y'all next week. Here we go. That's how things happen. Freddie explained the incident from his point of view, Mike. This is what Freddie said after the game about it.
I understand the game of baseball. So I just went over there to talk to him and, you know, just express that Will had told us that it wasn't on purpose and stuff like that. What? So, but I said, I completely understand, you know, this is a game of baseball. I get it. You know, I just didn't like the fact that it was two times. You can't do two. You got one chance. You got to hit me and I'm totally fine. And I would have reacted the same way on the second pitch. If he hit me in the first, pitch. I would have gone to first base. No big deal. But when you miss the first time, that's your one chance and that's all you get. And I expressed that to Lance, when he missed me, I said, Lance, that's all he gets. That's all he gets. If he goes again, he's got to go. That's clear intent. So when he hit me again, I said, Lance, I'm sorry, but that's the two times. That's clear intent. So, you know, you can get around with the first one saying you can get away with them, and we would all have moved on and been fine. But when you do two times, you can't do that. So,
Freddie's such a nice dude. Right. I would have lost my damn mind.
Right.
I mean, honestly, he explained that perfectly. He's such a cool, nice guy. It's why we love him. But, you know, the idea that he's turning to the umpire, you know, that's intent. Are you out of your right. damn mind?
Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to hit me twice. I would have lost it. But, right. Freddie, this is Freddie.
Right. Now, again, Will Smith, if you felt that, you know, a guy who has been putting guys on base in late inning situations in the ninth has given up home runs, if people go, well, why would he hit Soto? Go back and look at the tape. I mean, it's guys, if it's a steak, it's center cut, okay? I mean, there's really no, it's 1-0, and that's what he decided. Now, and God can strike me down on this one if one just got away from him, but boy, looked pretty much like a classic beanball to me.
Hey, man, plenty more to dive into. NFL starts tonight, Cowboys, Bucks. We're going to talk to Ross Tucker about that, as well as what he thinks about Falcons, Eagles. It's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com. It's Dukes and Bell. 2021-22 season is around the corner, guys, for our Atlanta Hawks. Make sure you check out the ticket membership options, Stack Packs, P-A-C-K-S. That's hawks.com/stackpacks. And you can check that out, guys. And they've got 10 fan favorite theme games that you can customize your ticket packages. Go check that out. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My man Ross Tucker is here with us on the WadeFord.com hotline, and he's brought to you again, Insider Calls presented by BetQL, and get access to the data and insight the sports books do not want you to see. Be smarter and bet the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL today at BetQL.com. Ross Tucker, we got a game on Sunday, and we want to start there because Mike and I were talking about the fact that you do, I think it's pre and post for the Eagles, and you're around that organization. You know what's going on. We've made fun of Nick Sirianni. I've asked you this before on the show, but apparently guys are buying in, and I'm curious to know what you are expecting on Sunday with this Eagles team.
Yeah, well, first of all, great to talk with you guys, and great to be back with you guys this season. Fired up. Yeah. Love talking with you guys in Atlanta. And, yeah, I do the Eagles preseason games on TV, and then I do pregame for WIP, the Odyssey station there in Philly. And listen, I'm from there, guys. I mean, I didn't play for them. I played for, I think, every team other than the Eagles. But all my high school buddies, you know, I live outside of Philly now. So they're all texting me with Sirianni's first press conference, and they were not exactly enamored. All I can tell you is that in my dealings with him, I was really impressed. You know, I do the production meetings, right? So it's just me and him and the play-by-play guy chatting. And he's got that same energy, that same passion. You know, he's like my age, and he reminds me of myself a lot just in terms of how much he loves football. And, you know, it's funny. I agree with some people that were not impressed. You know, I understand why people felt the way they did about the first press conference, but, you know, who cares? In other words, it's so funny because that is like the number one thing for public perception.
Right.
However, it's just so low on the list of things that actually matter for a head coach, right? And even forget Sirianni for a second. Even in the meetings with all the players, they all kept bringing up things he was doing, things he was saying that they were impressed by. I mean, they grade out every player on every play in practice, and the first thing they do in the morning is they, like, post every guy's grades. So everybody knows exactly where they stand every day. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Interesting, man. Different way to do things, man. Ross Tucker's with us. I mean, I get what you're saying, Ross. You only get one chance to make a first impression. But at the end of the day, you know, the W's are what matters most. Let's start with the quarterback. Is this where Jalen Hurts takes total command of this thing and there's no ever questions about bringing another quarterback in? How do you see the season playing out for this man?
Yeah. If you guys got me, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm doing a college game Saturday. All right, we're good now. So anyway, I think it's funny. I think the Eagles win 8 or 9 games, Mike. So what's funny about that is they got all these draft picks for next year. You know, Deshaun Watson will probably still be available. Who knows about Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers? I don't know if 8 or 9 wins is enough for him to be the guy. You know, it's like I almost feel like they want to get clarity. 10 wins or more, plays really well. All right, he's the guy. 6 wins or less, okay, we got to get somebody else. I tend to think they're going to win 8 or 9, which kind of puts them almost in no man's land. Might make it for a tough decision for the Eagles.
It's Ross Tucker, guys. Tonight, the season starts for the Bucs as they defend their championship. And Tom Brady said, it's a new season. What we did last year, nobody cares. I agree with him. But everybody's picking them. A lot of people are picking them to do it again. Are you one of those people, Ross, as they start the season tonight against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think they got a great chance to do it again. I really do. I think they will get back to the Super Bowl. I just don't see that many contenders, guys, in the NFC. I mean, how many teams can you really see going to the Super Bowl from the NFC? Tampa? Certainly Green Bay deserves a mention. I'm kind of squinting.
Who are you squinting on?
It's either going to be Seattle, the Rams, or the 49ers, right?
I'm with you. I think those 5 teams, seriously, right? I mean, I think those are all viable teams to maybe get to the Super Bowl to start this season. Now, somebody's going to ascend.
Right.
Who that is, we don't know yet. But if you were asking me just based on the personnel, Mike, right now, I'm with you. I think those 3 teams and the 2 that Ross just mentioned. We're talking with Ross Tucker, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I guess he's headed to his college game, so some sketchiness there with the signal. But brought to you by our friends at BetQL. Again, BetQL is here to help make all bets better through real proven analytics, guys. Bet smarter, bet the books. Download the BetQL app today and visit BetQL.com. So we'll get Ross back on because I want to hear where he's going with that. And then we got some other things to talk to him about as well. Big football day here on the show. We're going to talk to George Campbell coming up with Atlanta United in about less than 15 minutes from now and get his thoughts. Atlanta United back in action tomorrow against Orlando. And then at 3:00, guys, Calvin Ridley stops by from our Atlanta Falcons. So lots in store, plenty more guests as we ride through the day. And as Mike said, some things coming out about Freddie Freeman's potential contract. All right, Ross Tucker, you back?
I am, yes. And I'm doing Western Kentucky at Army.
So apparently, Carl, the cell service is crap out there.
Western Kentucky. All right. Yeah, well, listen, actually, I think it'll be a fun game. All right. You were talking about the teams that you thought coming out of the NFC. You mentioned 2. Who are the other 2 or 3 or teams that you think can get to the Super Bowl?
It's really primarily just the Bucks and the Packers. I mean, if I really squint hard, maybe I would say the Rams, but really envision the Niners or the Seahawks or any of the other teams will do it.
And that's the thing. I know that, you know, they made some moves. Somebody, you know, says, look, it's put up or shut up time as far as Matthew Stafford and his legacy. I mean, what is Matthew Stafford's legacy?
Ooh.
It's a great point, Mike. It really is. There's a lot of pressure on him. I mean, because it's funny how he gets traded and all of a sudden it felt like he went from being a good quarterback to now everybody's acting like he's one of the best quarterbacks ever. I think it's gotten a little far,
right.
And I'm going to be really curious to see whether or not he can live up to it.
Ross Tucker, our guest, guys. We're talking NFL. We'll do it each and every week on Thursdays with Ross here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we start to break down games. And who's your surprise team? Listen, season starts tonight. We said this while we were getting you reconnected. Somebody always ascends. We don't know who that is. But there's always a team that ends up being a lot better than expected. Now, you mentioned the Rams and the quarterback there, but what team, as you look around the league and you go, okay, you know what? Is it the Dolphins? I mean, who's going to go a little bit further than what you expected and surprise us?
Well, I got a couple for you. Look, the Chargers are that popular team every year, right? I mean, everybody always says the Chargers, but I really do think they've got a pretty darn good shot. I was really impressed by their D coordinator, or their head coach now, Brandon Staley, what he did as a D coordinator last year with the Rams. And I love Anthony Lynn as a human being. He's an awesome guy. Mm. But he cost them a bunch of games last year.
Yep.
Their O-line should be better. Herbert, year two. I'd like to think the Chargers are finally ready to win double-digit games and make the playoffs. So they're certainly a team for me. I don't know if it's a nice team, but I seem to be higher on both the Steelers and the Eagles than everybody. I mean, the season win total for the Steelers, 8.5, they won 8 games with a guy named Duck at quarterback.
Right.
They're not going to win 10 games with Roethlisberger?
Right. Right, and you got some rookies that are going to step up. Obviously, you know, Najee Harris seems like a perfect fit to get them back on track. But are you saying the Ravens are going to struggle because of the great defense, but what's Lamar going to do? They don't have the skill position, guys. They're calling Le'Veon Bell to help run the football now. Are the Ravens going to be in trouble?
Guys, have you ever thought of a worse schematic fit for the Ravens than Le'Veon Bell? I mean, I have no idea what they're doing signing that guy for so many. Maybe he'll run differently now that he's a Raven. I don't know. Their defense is going to be awesome. But in terms of being able to actually go to the Super Bowl and winning it, I just don't think the Ravens' passing game is good enough. And unfortunately, they haven't had any time to really work on it. I mean, Lamar missed the first 10 days. And then Hollywood Brown's been out. Watkins has been out. Their first-round pick, Rashad Bateman's out. If they had all camped together and really were able to work on it, I'd feel a lot better about the Ravens than I do right now.
Good point.
Ross, we got to run, man. Good luck in calling the college game. And then we look forward to talking with you each and every week. And we'll talk probably about this game on Sunday. We'll see what happens with the Falcons and Eagles. Thanks again, Ross.
George, when you're in there at the end of the game, good things are happening, man. And a lot of the analysts have said you're kind of a glue guy at center back. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. We got you.
Yeah. You know, I think over the past month or so, it's been going really well. You know, I'm happy with all the minutes I can get. And anytime I can help my team get a win. So, you know, I'm doing my best out there. The team's doing our best. So things are doing pretty good right now.
You're homegrown. I mean, you started with the academy. I mean, you've been in this organization now. And talk about your development and being a part of seeing this thing, you know, grow. And now you're getting more and more opportunities with Atlanta United.
Yeah, I mean, being here for, 5-6 years now, just like the development of the people that have come in and out of the club, just the culture around it, and obviously the performances on the field. You know, the hunger stays the same. We always try to be the best, to have the most possession in the league and be the most attacking in the league. But of course, like every year is going to change. It could be a different coach, different players, different main guy, whatever it is. But, everything's going to stay the same in terms of winning mentality. I think that's been the constant for my whole time here.
Plenty more on the first NFL game of the season, Falcons and the Eagles. Speaking of Eagles, our man is from Philly, that neighborhood, Chester, PA. George Campbell with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline talking about United. You knew Rob Valentino pretty well coming up to the organization, and now it's Pineda. How smooth is the transition to the new coach?
I was really close to Rob even when he was with USL and now assistant, and I've been really close with him. Building a relationship with him was good, and he taught me a lot. And the transition for Pineda to be head coach, it's been going well. We have a lot of intense training sessions. He's a good player manager. He knows how to connect with the guys, and I really look forward to finishing out the year a strong year with him.
We're talking to defender George Campbell here on Dukes and Bell. Can we make the playoffs? What's been the talk in the locker room? I mean, we've got 27 points. We're in ninth place. We're 3 points, I think, behind, for DC United for that final playoff spot. Can we make the playoffs? What's the talk between you guys?
Yeah, for sure. 100% we can make the playoffs. We've had to put a good run, recently of, four wins. We got a lot of points. And I think we can push for the playoffs and continue that form. I don't think anything's out of reach. And I think, the whole group in the locker room, the vibes on the field, I think we, we know we can do better this year, and we can go far in the playoffs.
It is George Campbell with his guys and his teammates. Again, Bello got in the game last night. Miles has been so money. By the way, I don't know how much you saw of it last night, guys. You watch any of the Honduras match last night, George?
I did not. I tried to, game on Friday, get my good sleep, and I watched the highlights.
Well, I can tell you, Carl, typical me, Carl, I started complaining after we were down 1-0, but they came back to win 4-1. But how tough is it, though, I mean, from a team standpoint, because soccer, unlike other sports here in America, you lose guys for international play. How tough is it to plug in the next guy and have continuity? Is that all it comes from practice?
I think it's just, the guys who are, maybe usually on the bench, just them being ready. The coaches putting belief in players to give them a chance on the field. And, also just knowing your role before you come in or when you're on the bench. You just got to know what you have to do when you come in. And I think, of course, it's going to put off chemistry a little bit if it's not as a consistent lineup. But, I think at the end of the day, we train with each other every day. So we know, our strengths and weaknesses, we know how we play, and I don't think it's going to affect us too much. I think we can still do a lot without players that are out.
Yeah, and it looks like Miles is not going to play. I mean, Mike, there's a bunch of guys with minutes, as we've been talking about, so we'll see how, Pineda adjusts. As far as, these training sessions, what have you guys been working on? You've not had the full squad, but how do we get better through these training sessions to finish out the way we need to finish out?
We've done a lot of, intense possession drills. We've done a lot of, defensive organization, how we're going to play in the back and how we shift as a unit. I think that's been a real focus so we don't concede easy goals against opponents. And I think those two things, possession and shifting as a unit, those two things are really big for us. I think we've been working a lot on them. And, hopefully we can show that in our next game.
Well, cool, man. We always appreciate you coming on the show. And again, it's been really you've been a part of a bunch of wins and getting the mojo back. And I know we hate Orlando City, so let's let them off the hook, man. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.